B-Pod Studios.
Get out of here. Come on. Don't listen to them. Listen to no one.
Don't listen to them. You're going to ruin your career.
But you're rich.
You can't listen to those people. They're maniacs.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
No Fred, no Rich, no Dan, no Mike. Nick is here, though. He is on the Twitch. Sup, Twitch fam. On the phone number, 617-779-0985. Billy Lanny is here today. I believe Dan and Rich, Wallach, and Fred are a foursome at the Hoosier Caddy Classic today. 8 a.m. start over at Perk Metal Country Club in Canton. So, sure, those guys are listening on their way in. Sup, guys? Hopefully, we don't hurt your ratings or anything like that. So there is a story I'm sure they're doing very fine. Jared Weiss, who I spoke with last night.
Yeah,
yep. We tried to get him on. He's in L.A. and he didn't want to wake up early.
I don't blame him.
Whatever.
Sorry, we got enough. It'd be great to hear from him personally.
I get some stuff to share that he mentioned. I asked him a few questions.
Which is great stuff, Joe.
But Ted, if you want to lead the way on this one, I mean, there's some serious turmoil going on right now with the Boston Celtics,
dude. There is, and I just think this is a big story, and I think this is going to be talked about a lot probably today by the other shows. I found it to be fascinating. Jared Weiss, who you just mentioned, Joe, writes for the Athletic, and he wrote an article that came out, I believe, it was Saturday. So it's kind of one of those stories that it's a big story. It didn't come out last week, so guys really haven't had a chance to talk about it. But we talked about it yesterday when we were doing our Sunday show, and it's worthy of discussion today. And the article is titled, "An Inside Look at the Factors That Led to the Inevitable Breakup Between Kemba Walker and the Celtics." And I just think there's some stuff in here that Jared kind of uncovers that is – really juicy stuff that really kind of takes us behind the curtain to enlighten us on really what was going on behind the scenes of this year's Celtics. And it talks about dysfunction. And he says in this article, according to multiple team sources, there was dysfunction in the locker room with the relationship between Brad Stevens and Kemba Walker. And it was characterized as a tension-filled dysfunction. Sources also suggest that Stevens also perceived to be harder on Walker than the other top players. And this is a theme throughout the article. Several team sources felt Stevens was more aggressive with certain players this season, which included Walker, who was criticized for his defensive mistakes. Those sources said Walker and Stevens began to butt heads, though the pair were considered to have a productive working relationship and a mutual respect for one another. Let me finish this part off. And I don't think we really got to this yesterday, which I found this to be a little bit interesting. But Walker maintained his professionalism throughout the season, but his health issues, the team's poor performance, and the boos from the TD Garden fans, something that particularly pissed him off, according to multiple sources, made him sour on his situation in Boston, and had spoken privately about willing to move to a new team, and it became clear that he was no longer in the team's long-term plans.
So what he tanked at the end of the year. I think that he didn't play those playoff games and tanked. That's what I think of hearing that right there.
And I should also make it clear, what really started the whole thing was what was Walker's name being out there in trade discussions that preceded last season.
Exactly.
That's what was the beginning of the end for Kemba Walker being in Boston.
So you just nailed like the tension in the locker room and the turmoil. In Kemba Walker, the trade that just happened was inevitable, and this is what Jared Weiss mentions in the story. But he also mentions that this is the second year in a row that they've had to put in a first-round pick in order to move on from salary. So the Celtics don't want to do that. You know, Danny held all these picks in for so long last year had to move on a first-round pick with Enes Kanter to kind of move that one along. Yep. The other thing that you mentioned when it comes to some of that turmoil, why was he so hard on Kemba Walker?
Okay.
Right? I mean, isn't that like a legit question? Like, this is a guy that really didn't get a max. I mean, he's close to max money, right? I mean, I guess you can call it max money.
Yeah.
Charlotte essentially didn't really want him. They I think they offered him a deal to probably do a sign and trade in general.
Oh, they offered him a nice deal.
But they offered him a deal, but it wasn't the max.
Right.
It made it seem like they didn't want him. Like, I know it's easy to say, well, they still offered him a deal. Yeah, to probably save face. Right? The Charlotte fans still wanted him there. He never missed games in Charlotte. But I can go back and tell you times where this guy missed time for knee injuries. And the other thing that wasn't...
Before he got to the Celtics, there was a knee issue.
Multiple.
You've read articles issues about it, and yet the Celtics still gave him all that money. And you see where they ended
but
up.
He was still an all-star, no matter what
right,
we say.
Right. You're right.
He was still an all-star, and people forget in that all-star game, he had a minutes restriction. He played over his minutes in the game. When he came back from the all-star break, his knee wasn't right. He couldn't play back-to-backs. This year, got stem cell surgery in the offseason. Didn't play any back-to-backs this year. They knew it was up. They knew they had to get out of this deal. But what actually happened in the locker room this year was definitely Kemba-related. He was sour grapes all season long. And it sounds like a lot of people, there might have been more sour grapes than just with Walker.
So if Brad is being hard on Kemba, like it's being alleged in this article, and Walker's not appreciated, he doesn't feel respected, where was Brad focusing? Who was Brad focusing? His attention on, and it was somebody that might surprise a lot of some fans, and maybe some fans not. At the season's end, multiple sources close to the player said several members of the locker room were welcoming a coaching change, noting Stevens did not appear to hold key players accountable. With complaints, he was favoring Marcus Smart over others. So he was being hard on Kemba and showing favoritism to Marcus Smart, and that was a crack in the foundation. And I think something you were alluding to was a piece of information that was, I thought, there's two pieces in this article that I'm still kind of shocked by. One is, according to a source, Brooklyn's Blake Griffin asked a Celtic player if he should join the team midseason, and he was told not to come to Boston because of the apparent dysfunction. And you and I speculated yesterday on who that player on the Celtics might have been that said something to Blake Griffin.
It's probably Tristan Thompson.
That's what I think, too. But here's the coup de grace, and you actually talked to Jared about this specific point. This came in the wake of Gordon Hayward's departure, after which sources said Hayward told Stevens he needed to establish a stronger voice with players if they were going to win. Gordon Hayward is giving Brad Stevens advice on his way out to Charlotte about how he needs to conduct himself if he's going to get these guys to play better. Gordon Hayward.
Why is Gordon Hayward still being mentioned, first off?
And you mentioned something to Jared about he replied, what?
So I had a chance to talk to Jared last night. I was like, hey, man, can you come on? And he mentioned that he was in California. And he was like, oh, pre-record. And I'm like, nah, man, we want the real thing, dude. Like, we want you on the air. So I just said, hey, man, maybe we could schedule something. I thought your Hayward comments are interesting. And he goes, yes, I've been waiting for the right time to use it because I wanted to come out under the proper context after I spoke with Hayward. And so he has multiple sources on this one. It sounds like the horse's mouth as well. But Hayward opted out here, for those who don't remember. He opted out. He ended up being a sign and trade to save face. And obviously we know about the Miles Turner deal that reportedly was turned down, supposedly turned down. And all they got in return for him was this trade exception. That trade looks way worse now, hearing that news. And to find out that really happened, like Gordon Hayward is giving his college coach advice on how to handle NBA players?
In that maybe Brad was influenced by that. I don't know. Like it's the way Jared writes it is to lead you to suggest that Brad Stevens was actually kind of, I don't know, trying to have a stronger voice, maybe trying to be a hardo, ooh, and Kimbo was the target. You know, he was maybe, okay, here's Gordon Hayward saying, you know, hey, Brad, you and I are boys. It didn't work out here, but look, I'm going to give you some parting advice. You need to have a stronger voice. You need to be tougher on these guys. And, so Brad's like, okay, that's, you know, maybe I do. Who am I going to use as my guy to set the example? It's going to be Kemba Walker. That's what it leads you to believe. And Kemba probably felt like he was being picked on. At least it's being alleged in this article that was the kind of the dynamic. And he didn't like being called out about some of his defensive mistakes. And that was maybe ultimately why Kemba soured on playing for the Celtics.
I want to get on the Marcus Smart stuff. You mentioned maybe someone was a scapegoat, and in the end, it's Kemba. Really, it is. I mean, if you think about it, because, you know, Stevens gets promoted here. And Stevens said some things at the end of the year of maybe what they need, and I don't know if it was a shot at Danny Ainge at one point, and maybe it leads back to where some of these rumors are coming from, too, or
okay, right,
the sources with the Blake Griffin thing.
Yep. And it might lead into what you're curious about, just the timing of this trade, too.
The timing of the trade, and that's something I want to talk about. Did they make the move too soon? We'll get into that coming up here on the other side. There's more to this article, too. It's from Jared Weiss of The Athletic. There's turmoil with the Celtics people. And, you know, the more you look at it, if there's a new coach in here, it still might not be fixed.
Not if Brad's still in
the front
office.
The problem might be Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
We'll get into more of this coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now. It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, back here at 98.5, The Sports Hub. No Toucher and Rich today. The Hoosier Caddy Classic is today. I believe everybody else is on. Zoe and Beetle will be live from Brook Meadow Country Club in Canton from at 10 o'clock today. Toucher and Rich and the whole show, a foursome today with Dan O'Brien and Wallach.
And is this the 10th annual,
19th? I don't know how many there's been.
I believe I heard that it was Tony Maz that started it.
Lanny's been here since day one. Ish. Day one-ish.
No, so is Nick, too, one. Right? Nick's been here from the beginning.
I think he was like the BCN days, right, Nick? I don't know.
You know what I respect a lot? Do you know what I think one of the most respectful aspects of anybody in this business it has is if you have staying power, I tip my cap to you. I tip my cap to you.
Yeah.
You know, it's T-Bone. He's producing the Midday Show now. He's Zoe and Beetle. You know what? I mean, he's been here forever. I mean, he was here the whole time. You know, it's like if you pay your dues, and everybody that's been in this business long enough has really kind of fun pay your dues stories. And so staying power, I always tip my cap to guys that have gutted out and have been here a long time.
Best ability, availability. I'll always tell everybody that. Speaking of availability, Kemba Walker, not much this year. Could not play back-to-backs. It drove me up a wall. I mean, it literally drove me up a wall this year. And I'm still pissed about that All-Star game from a year ago.
Enough with the All-Star games. No more All-Star games. Do you know what the Celtics record was the first six games out of this year's All-Star game? remember it was in Atlanta, and it was Jaylen Brown and Tatum both got, and they played a lot of minutes, and it was their hometown. 2-4. 2-4. The All-Star game slows down momentum for this team. What was it 3 years ago? It was Kyrie. 2 years ago,
IT went and tried to recruit, and remember the blueprint trade of Paul George, you know, coming to the Boston. It was going to be Gordon Hayward, and Ainge got fleeced on that deal. It didn't work out.
But wait,
they moved him to Oklahoma City.
So I wasn't living here at the time. So IT about IT and an All Star game
became an All Star.
Right.
And he was recruiting Paul George.
Okay.
And they ended up, they wanted to pair Gordon Hayward and Paul George together. And they called it the blueprint. Like, this is the whole thing that they had. And they had a deal in place with the Pacers. But the Pacers GM came out and said they didn't want to do a deal with Danny Ainge because they always felt like whenever he did a deal with somebody, they were going to fleece him. That's where the quote came from.
That really?
Yeah. And then they ended up shipping him to Oklahoma City to Sam Presti.
Interesting.
Without anybody knowing. He got caught.
So that's where that reputation basically kind of took hold.
Exactly.
Was IT trying to recruit Paul George? Yep. And the Celtics were down on that. So they tried to. They negotiated with the Pacers. They wanted more than what the Pacers were willing to give.
It was, yeah. I mean, they were close on a deal. And they ended up going with Oklahoma City instead.
I don't know.
They just didn't want to. No one wants to do business.
Scratching my head, going, so IT is trying to recruit Paul George.
Well, he was. I mean, they that's all they had at the time.
But it's IT.
Yeah, but he was the
At the time,
it was a top four MVP candidate.
Okay. Okay. You're right.
No, I know. You look at it and say that they also traded IT with a bad hip. For Kyrie Irving, which I would have done 1,000 times out of 1,000 times.
And I wasn't living here at the height of IT's powers, so I'm sure, okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the same thing as, Kelly Olynyk going to the Hamptons to recruit, exactly. KD. It's kind of like IT's trying to recruit Paul George, but at the time, okay.
So they give you the storyline. Yes, that's what happened. Then they make the trade for Kyrie Irving. When that trade happened, Anthony Davis's father came out and was like, I don't like the way they treated Isaiah Thomas. He was a star, a star player, and they just trade him with a bad hip, and now he can't make them. Isaiah Thomas said he wanted to back the Brinks truck up. He thought he was going to get the big time money, and he didn't because of a hip injury. And he played that playoff series. His sister died. He broke his teeth or whatever up front. Like, this dude gave it all for Boston. And around the league, it looked like maybe Ainge or the Celtics didn't care about their star players. So they tried to make a trade for Anthony Davis. It could have worked, but Davis said that he wouldn't sign a long-term deal. Like, dude, they had a Jaylen Brown, Kawhi Leonard trade on the table that they didn't pull the trigger on. They could have moved in the offseason Kemba Walker. This is all reports. Okay. They could have moved Kemba Walker for the big Aldridge this year. Come to find out, Aldridge retired because he had the heart issue. At the end of this year, but they have done things with their superstars, whether it's Al Horford, Gordon Hayward just had the injuries, but all these guys that they've brought in, the reputation around the league is essentially, it could be a bad place to be. And based off this article, Blake Griffin got bought out. He could have played for any team. Blake Griffin's been linked to Boston in trades for years. And I mean, obviously I think Blake made the right decision going to Brooklyn. Right, he played for them. I mean, he actually had an impact.
I thought Blake Griffen did pretty good.
I mean, he's not the same old. He's 32 now. He doesn't have the hops
was
there. Anymore.
He was doing a lot of the dirty work. He was
playing big man for them. He was the big guy,
and I thought he did an admirable job for him.
I agree with you.
But you're kind of setting it up for what I think the main point of what we want to get to in this segment is Danny Ainge not pulling the trigger. Danny Ainge being involved in these deals, but never really, willing to maybe do a deal where the person participating in the trade felt like it was a fair deal. But now Brad Stevens is named general manager and immediately makes a trade, unlike anything Danny Ainge has ever done. And some people question the timing of it. I will say this. I thought it was a good move. My feeling is is it early? It's Al Horford. Yeah, I think he actually makes you a better team than Kemba. Some people totally disagree. But I also think part of it was the timing was meant to get people to say, okay, there's a new sheriff in town. There's a new philosophy. There's a new way of thinking. And I think part of it, the timing of this deal, Joe, was to quell that that narrative.
Maybe it was. Maybe it was to stop the talks about Kemba Walker's upset. Maybe they don't want Kemba talking to other players about, you know, you don't want to come. Maybe that. I don't know. There's a lot there. Kemba Walker's a very likable guy. He played at UConn and was a star, wanted to come back home. And I'll bring something up a couple of years ago. Gordon Hayward, when he was with the Jazz, he signed a deal with Charlotte. He wanted to play with Kemba Walker because they were in the draft together. They wanted to play together, and it was going to be in Charlotte. It ended up happening that the Jazz, I think, matched something. The Jazz matched a deal on a restricted one-year deal or something like that. So it never ended up happening. But when Gordon Hayward was in Boston and Kemba became available as a free agent, they wanted to play together. Like, that was a thing. So it's interesting that Hayward opted out, and they ended up making the trade. The two played together last year, but Hayward's the one out the door saying, hey, coach, my Butler coach, you need to, you know, have your voice in the locker room a little bit more. So all of a sudden it's on Kemba now? At some point, what Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, who can they play with, right? Because they couldn't play with Kemba Walker. It wasn't Isaiah Thomas. It wasn't Al Horford. It wasn't Kyrie Irving. Yep. So who can they actually play with is my question. And now the coach is going to be the next thing. Who can actually coach this group? And if you look around the NBA, you know, Rick Carlisle is out in Dallas because Luka doesn't want him. Zion Williamson doesn't want Stan Van Gundy. Somehow, this article here says that players were upset with Brad Stevens. So who were the players? Was it Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown? Was it Marcus Smart? I don't think it was, because supposedly Stevens favors him. So who is it? Because I'm telling you, all those other teams, the coach is out and out of the picture. But yet Brad Stevens is still here. In 2 years, this team's going to have salary cap space. In 2 years, does Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown still want to be here? That's going to be the question over the next couple of seasons. 617-779-0985. And I just want to tease this one quickly. Just have some fun with this one before we get to the break. I mentioned, did the Celtics make the move too quick? You like the deal. I think some people like it because of the salary cap and Horford can do some things. People don't like what happened with Ben Simmons last night.
People don't like it in what way?
For the fact that he's a no-show. He didn't shoot. I mean, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, right? I mean, that's like the joke.
He definitely did not show up last night.
I don't think the 76ers would ever do a deal with the Celtics. Let me start off by saying that.
Because?
But if, because of the same conference.
Okay.
But could you have waited a little longer? Because Ben Simmons' value right now will never be lower than it is. And if you're a Celtics fan and say, I don't want Ben Simmons, you are nuts.
Oh.
He's one of the best on-ball defenders in the league. He's still a good point guard.
Oof.
But at 6'10",
oof,
a former number one overall pick on this Celtics team, he doesn't need to be the third option.
Joe, thank you. You just teed that ball up perfectly for me. When we come back, I got to hit it out of the park then.
All right. So we'll leave that.
I couldn't disagree more.
And I got one for later, too, that's a good one. I got a lot of Celtics takes on here, and I don't want to, you know, sabotage the show with Celtics talk. But, oh, man, when there's turmoil, we got to hit on it. You got to keep that thing
stuck. The problem is there was a lot of turmoil that is now being revealed, and the main player who was the center of this turmoil is still here in the organization. He's just now the general manager as opposed to the head coach.
Yeah, I'll throw that one out there. Would Celtics fans be interested in a Ben Simmons trade? And do you think they made the move too quick moving off from Kemba Walker? 617-779-0985. He's Ted Johnson. I'm Joe Murray. You're listening to 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They get you going.
That's a difficult thing to get through.
Every day.
That is 4 hours of conversation.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back here at 98.5, the Sports Hub. Good morning. I'm Joe Murray, alongside three-time Super Bowl champion. His name is Ted Johnson. At 8 o'clock, we are going to do a bit. It might not work, but this is what we do here on the radio biz.
Just for the record, I want people to know this was not my idea.
Oh, never! It never is. It's always mine. And it either works or it doesn't. And the thing is you want it to be really bad. So we'll find out, but yeah. It's... Ted Johnson has traveled the world.
I wouldn't say that.
He has been to many places, and he's met many people, and we may dig in a little more on that coming up at 8 o'clock today. Might have some fun in the 8 o'clock hour as well. A little something else on the table. So we'll just a little tease there. So 8 o'clock should be some fun, and that's when the Who's Your Caddy Classic tees off today. That's where Toucher and Rich are. So if you're like, who are these clowns? What are you guys doing here? They're the foursome. Dan, Fred, Rich, and Wallach. All
good for them that they were able to manage that they got to all play together as opposed to each kind of being put in a group. So they all get to hang out and play a round of golf together, which is kind of cool.
Oh, if I was playing golf, every hole I'd be like, longest drive, here's $20. Winner, longest drive, $20.
Doesn't that make golf a lot more interesting?
Absolutely.
Just the bets?
Oh, my God. Dude, I go to pool halls nowadays and I got to do something.
You need the juice.
Yeah. I mean, I play dice still out with my friends. We'll drop dice down, put dollar bills down, and collect them. Oh yeah.
What game gives you the most juice?
So, all right. To be honest with you, the thing when it comes to betting, watching a boxing fight or an MMA fight
gives you the most.
Yeah, most because, I mean, a knockout in a minute could happen.
Okay, what about okay? I'm talking about all facets of gambling.
Blackjack.
It's craps for me, but I love blackjack too, but
I'm not an aggressive blackjack player. I actually put in the same amount every single time, and I always
You always play the odds.
I double down on 11 all the time. I don't care what
the dealer has.
Nope, I'm doubling down on 11. I don't split a lot. I like to split, and I like a good table. You know, I actually kind of like when everyone helps each other. You know, hey, man, you want to double down? Hey, that's a soft five, you know, something like that. Like that. But I could play blackjack literally for 8 hours. That's the game I could play the most.
I could, too. Me, too. Me, too. The most juice and most fun I get gambling is when the dice are hot on a blackjack table. There's really, for me, there's nothing that compares to that feeling when someone's just rolling numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Just rolling numbers on craps. It's let's face it, the reaction you get when the dice are hot on a craps table, it nothing else compares. I don't care if the dealer busts on a hand and everybody wins. That's awesome, but it doesn't compare to when somebody's just rolling number after number after number on a craps table. That's my opinion. That's what gets me the most juice.
Speaking of juice, there's a lot of juice in this Athletic article when it comes to the Boston Celtics. I still think the reason why Brad Stevens is here is because the team owes Stevens a ton of money and they don't want to walk away from it. I hope in some way that Stevens, maybe he did say this team needs a new voice. I think he may have at least alluded to that in the press conference. But if he knows what was wrong with the team, he now has a big man that they can play through in Horford. And I think he can play a year. I wonder if he can play for 2 years. They're going to have to manage his knee as well. They're going to have to find a point guard, Ted, going forward here. I think you'll be able to do that in this league. And I'll just throw out some random names, right? Like Ricky Rubio is probably available, right? Like you could probably find a guy like that.
Well, you mentioned one that's now not playing anymore.
So, but I'm just giving you some names that are out there. Like Ricky Rubio could be a guy that's out there. Derrick Rose could be a guy that's out there if you need one. And I know, vomit, right?
See, no. See, why do I feel different? I almost feel like Derrick Rose at this time of his career. You know what? It's like, Derrick Rose of 5-10 years ago. But no, I feel like there's something different. It's like, well, you see maybe a lot of these guys that are hard to kind of corral, and they don't quite get it early in their careers, and then they just kind of settle into this kind of professionalism later on in their career when they're done with all their, you know, stuff early in their, you know, they kind of just mellow out, they become more professional. I feel like Derrick Rose is in that place.
Okay. But in I go
so
back
I don't think that's a crazy I get what you're saying though.
But I'm just giving you two ideas. Ricky Rubio's a guy, like they're just guys that can be placeholders for because they're not going to take up your salary cap.
Did he get into the NBA like at 17 years old?
Yeah, Duke.
It's like he's been in the league for.
Duke could pass the ball. I mean, if that's what this team's going to need, it's a facilitator.
Yeah, so can Ben Simmons. 13 assists last night.
So just quickly, I wanted to bring this up, and we'll get back to Simmons. But the Celtics have developed point guards. I mean, you know, they made Jordan Crawford a point guard at one point. Evan Turner played the point role as a forward at one point in his career. Isaiah Thomas was a point guard here and did very well. Terry Rozier turned into a very good point guard here. I mean, Peyton Pritchard came in, stepped in right away this year. They found Brad Wanamaker at one point. Like, I think they can find point guards. Like, that's not an issue. So the fact that they've had Kyrie Irving and Kemba Walker here, it's kind of like, do you really need that ball dominant guy when you have, you know, Tatum that can play, that can handle the ball, and Jaylen Brown. No, I'm just saying these guys can handle the ball. I mean, like
Do you want the offense to run through those guys? I don't either.
And here's the other thing, right? I look at what Milwaukee just did getting Drew Holiday, like Holiday a point guard and letting Giannis be open a little bit more. It's worked for the team. It's really worked for Middleton, who's become this shooter now out of nowhere. And I shouldn't say out of nowhere, but like just more, he's knocking down better shots and he's just become a much better player. But I ask, okay, now did they move on from Kemba a little too soon here? I'm going to say yeah. Like maybe you could have got a better deal.
You think that they could have, if they held out, maybe gotten it was basically a salary dump. We know that at the end of the day. And it was to get, I think, more veteran leadership and bring Al back to. But having said that, you think they could have upgraded at that point guard position?
I think that them moving on from Kemba eliminated them from making a big move this year.
And one example of that would be to maybe go
Simmons. Ben Simmons is an idea. Okay.
Make your case for Ben Simmons.
I'll just make my case. The guy was a number one overall pick. He's a phenomenal defender. I mean, they need defense, long defenders. Celtics need it. They need it. He doesn't need to shoot the basketball late in games. He could be a facilitator. If they want to hack you, like hack him down the line, you can take him out. You can put somebody else in. All I'm trying to say is on this basketball team, he might be your third max guy. And I just feel like maybe they gave him up a little. They made a trade a little too early.
That's interesting. You know, for fun and for the sake of this argument, you mentioned the 76ers maybe would never trade Ben Simmons to the Celtics. That's probably true, but let's just have fun. For the sake of this argument, let's assume that they would. Ben Simmons, you know, if you think about it, you wonder, maybe he is a better option than what Kemba was. And you go, well, you say he's clearly limited in his what he can do on offense, Ben Simmons, but he is a dominant defender. Kemba was not a defender. And he will give you, he will assist and he will pass the ball a lot more than what Kemba did.
Defense. What did Brad Stevens criticize Kemba for? Defense. He's the best on-ball defender in the league, arguably. At 6'10".
It's just, I don't know how you give that, I don't know how you sign a guy with that kind of, making that kind of money who is so severely limited in what he can do offensively.
What are the 76ers going to get for Ben Simmons right now? 50 cents on the dollar.
Which is crazy to think about. 2 years ago, they were talking about this kid being an MVP candidate.
They're going to have to give up some crap deal to get out of $117 million.
Do you think what you see with Ben Simmons is what he is?
No, I don't.
You think he has way more upside?
You would think he would. I'm going to compare him to Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd was always a stud. Always.
Jason Kidd could shoot better than...
Not early in his career.
He couldn't?
He was better than Simmons early in his career.
But
overall, like, even Rondo became a better shooter. These guys become better shooters. You're not even seeing
like a little bit of improvement.
Progression? Okay.
That's what the scary thing is with Giannis and Ben. Everybody excused the shooting woes early in their career because it's early. They got to learn. They'll develop. And it has not happened. I mean, it has not happened. Ben Simmons, the last 2 years, shoots less than 40% at the free throw line. He's been in the league for more than, you know, Ben Simmons has been in the league for several years now. And he doesn't take a shot in the fourth quarter in four of these seven games in this series? Are you kidding me?
Here's where I'm going with it. They need Ben Simmons, the 76ers, to be their top scorer or second scorer. He can't be that guy. The Celtics don't need that. I'm thinking about other teams now. Like, I don't know, other Lakers looking at it like, could we make a move to get Ben Simmons here? I'm starting to now look at other teams that are thinking about this.
Joe, I think you can make a good argument for Ben Simmons being an upgrade to Kemba Walker on this team. Okay? But I think you can make an argument. I almost think I might agree with you. But you can't tell me, you cannot convince me that Ben Simmons in that locker room is going to be an overall benefit to that team long term, because you need older vets with Tatum and Brown. You don't need a younger or just as young, just as inexperienced, a kid who's got no confidence in his shot coming to this team. I think it would be a disaster as far as just chemistry, Joe.
Okay. One more on it. What about Lonzo Ball? He's available, but isn't he the same thing? He's the same thing. He's the number two overall pick who was with the Lakers, got traded. Like, I feel like he'd be a great fit with Tatum and Brown for the simple fact that his jump shot has improved. He's got the great passing skill. When he was at UCLA, he played with our dynamic, played with Moses Brown. I mean, what I mean is he's the guy that could be the Showtime guy.
I don't know why I like that.
He can still get to the basket.
I like that better than I do Ben Simmons. I think Ben Simmons, he thinks he's a star. He feels like he's treated and he's given a contract as if he was a star. And I just think Lonzo Ball, to me, would come in here. He's got, I don't know, I don't think he needs to be the alpha dog. I think Ben Simmons would fight for that kind of place on this team with Jalen and Jason, where Lonzo wouldn't. I think it would be a better fit chemistry-wise.
I agree with you, though. If they want, for 1 year, surround these guys with veterans to learn how to become professionals and make other guys better.
You got to make this a veteran more team. This team needs to be more veteran-heavy than it's been. It does. And Ben Simmons, I think, although you make a compelling argument, I think from the chemistry standpoint, that would be a bad
fit. One more just fun thing to throw out there before we hit the break. Would you rather have Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons or Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum? I mean, it's a really good question because, you know, you could call Brown and they're both all-stars. I think Embiid might be the unicorn of four.
Embiid's the best out of all of them.
Yeah, and that's arguable. I mean,
okay, that can be debated.
But, I mean, he is the unicorn. He's a seven-footer that can do crazy things, and I just don't know how in this league how many seven-footers are leading theirs. I mean, I know
that's fair.
Jokic just became the MVP, does team go?
You know, it's a good question. Which one would you rather have? I almost think I would rather have Tatum and Brown. And it's not like I'm high on both of them, but when you kind of put it that way, yeah, I think I would rather have the guys that we have.
Okay. We're going to do some football talk as well during the show here.
Dude, we have so much football talk.
A ton of football stuff.
If you want to get into it.
Ted's here, so we'll certainly do that. We're going to have some fun. Always in the 8 o'clock hour. These guys have some fun, so we'll do that. And then later on in the show, we'll do some more basketball stuff. We'll take a look at what's happening in the finals and the coaching search as well for the Boston Celtics. And, of course, if you want to jump in, 617-779-0985. Billy Lanny's here today. We also have Nick Jamelli on the Twitch. What's up, Twitch fan? I'm Joe Murray. We'll talk to you guys right after the break.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.